going to interrupt you just a few minutes. I want to exert a thought, if I could do that. You could be seated if you'd like to. I'm going to ask the worship team to stay up here. We're going to do this again, all right? I feel like this connects with what God is speaking to us as a church, to you, and understanding the needs that we're faced with, but understanding the goodness of God, the mercy of God, understanding that he's a good father, and he doesn't, you know, young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, they'll lack no good thing. Can you shout amen in this house? Amen. I meditating on these scriptures the last few days, and I know that as I've taught them over the years, and especially as I teach on prayer, I really always come back to the prayers and the epistles to find strength to really encourage people. You know, I love to pray in tongues, but I know that when we pray the scriptures as well, we're praying by the Spirit as well, because the Word and the Spirit, they're in total agreement. And in if you got a Bible, just go ahead and go into Ephesians chapter 1, if you don't mind. Ephesians 1, one of the prayers that the apostle prayed here is just really one of the most amazing things that we could ever see. And actually, go to Ephesians 3. Let me jump ahead just a little bit. In Ephesians 3, in verse 16, he's praying for the church at Ephesus. And verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." I believe that he's doing that upon your lives, even here today. "That Christ will may dwell in your hearts by faith," which I know he does. "That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge." Thank God that love never fails.
Right.
"That you might be filled with the fullness of God." I believe we've stepped in to what I believe is a season in the body of Christ in the earth, not just here in New York, but not just in the United States, but throughout the nations, that we've entered into a time and season where God wants us to experience his fullness as a church, as an individual, and also as a nation that will honor and glorify Jesus Christ. He says, "Now, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able," say he's able,
"to
do."
To do.
So that means he's willing.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
"Exceedingly abundantly above." There's that word "all." "That we," say that'd be us.
Yes.
That'd be this house.
Yes.
"Ask or think according to the power that's at work within us."
Yes.
"Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, if I read this to you out of the Amplified Version, I know you all know this. Just humor me, all right? I'm just a firm believer of faith didn't come to you because you have heard it. I don't know about you. I ate yesterday, but I'm planning on enjoying this meal today with you, okay? And "Now unto him, by and consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us." Where's that work at? It's in you. He started a good work, and he will finish it. And he's in process in each one of our hearts, each one of our lives, at this very moment of time. "He is able to carry out his purpose." Say purpose.
Purpose.
You all know about purpose here in this house. I know you do. his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask. Oh, I love it. Think. How many of you can think beyond the normal here? I believe there's some thinkers here. Is that correct? Can dare ask or think infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. I want to encourage you. One of the things the Lord spoke to me in the prayer room, I was going to voice it out to those that were praying, but I thought, no, I'll wait. In the ministry of the prophetic ministry, I know you're used to a very strong teaching anointing here. I understand that. It's very, very precious. And thank God for that, because there's been line upon line, precept upon precept. This church carries great, great revelation. But I believe you've stepped into a season with the departure of your pastor who's moved to heaven, who one day will get to rejoice and be with him again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the deposits he left, the impartations he left, need to be expanded beyond these walls. One thing about the prophetic ministry that I understand, I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I've walked in it, and I've received from it many, many times from other, you know, other gifts in the body of Christ, is it's not always what we could be taught. It's what can we catch? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's things that you and I can catch by the Spirit that'll bring the missing pieces so that we can receive the fullness of God in this season. God wants you to be so full. I know you're full of the Word. I know you've got deep and great insight and revelation into the Word. But if we're not doers of what we know, we're only self-deceived. And this is no time in history to be a deceived church. This is a time to be active and operating in the fullness that God has for every one of us, because we're a team. You understand me? We're the body of Christ. We're together in this thing. And as we work together to accomplish the goal, I love the one song that we sang early. It was one of my themes. I have it written across the backboard of the church in Titusville. It's out of Psalm verse chapter 2, verse 8. It says, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I have remained in that scripture pretty much most of my Christianity. Because why? I want to see the nations come out of darkness into light. And right now I'm concerned about our nation. I thank God for what's taken place in the political realm. But if the church doesn't rise up in the fullness of what God has for us, we could possibly lose the ground that we have. We have got to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to stand on the wall of this great nation and protect what God wants to do, and that's to usher in the righteousness of Jesus Christ back into this nation. To bring and take everything that the enemy has stolen from us and return it sevenfold. I want to encourage you. The church has the major key part in operating in this. I believe this is one of those local churches in a region in Pennsylvania that has been given authority because of the revelation that you have. So as we ask of him to give us the heathen of United States of America. We call them from the north, south, east, and west. Loose them, devil, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now that you're sending your ambassadors, your ministers, your men and women. God, the harvest is ripe. It's ready. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you've equipped your people to go into the highways, into the byways, into the accesses, into the hearts of humanity in the name of Jesus with the Word of God, with the ministry of the Holy Ghost, with the power and demonstration of God's Spirit, because God, you said in this day and hour to ask of you. We're asking as a church. We're asking in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that they are coming in. We thank you for the backslider coming home. We thank you for uniting of the families of God once again. We thank you for the healing that is taking place in relation relationships, that you're equipping your church with the fullness of who you are, that the power of God will be manifested in the earth, and we will experience and see the greatest harvest that any generation has ever seen, in the name of Jesus. Now, as we go back into this song, I'll read it one more time. Now unto him who by in consequence of the action of his power, where's that power? It's in you. The same spirit that raised Christ up from the dead lives inside of you, my brother and sister. It lives inside of us. It's not another spirit. It's not another power. The same power. And this power is more than enough for every one of us. He says that action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose in your life, in our life, and in this house, to do super abundantly over or far over above all we could dare ask, think, or infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. If we don't get anything else today, I trust the Holy Spirit seals these scriptures on your heart. And I want you to see, you are the powerhouse.
Yes.
You, my brother and sister, Christ in you. He's enough. You are his children. You are his church. You are the ones that he's called for such a time as this, in such a messed up world. You are world changers, church. You are the men and women that pick up your cross and follow him. You are the example of who Jesus Christ is in the earth. Don't ever underestimate who you are. And don't ever underestimate the power that's within you, because it's the power of the Spirit of God, and he is well able, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could dare ask, think, dream. It's time to start dreaming. It's time to start asking. Ask for more. We're not asking enough. We have not because we ask not. So then, bless God, we're going to be askers. Can you say amen? We're going to be dreamers. We're going to be thinkers, and we're going to think beyond the natural, because you are a supernatural ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you, the name that is above each and every name. We thank you for the authority that you've given us as your people, as your church. We thank you for the precious blood that covers each and every one of us. We thank you for that blood that covers this house and the great ministry in which it represents. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy that has followed us quite long enough. So, Father, we stop and receive it. We receive goodness today, and we receive mercy today. For it's new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. We stand in awe of you. And Lord, we thank you that each and every need is being met in this house. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom that you're depositing in the hearts of this great church to deal wisely with each and every affair of their life. That Lord, this house, your people, would prosper in this season, that divine health and healing would manifest, that sickness and disease, spirit of infirmity, you have no place in this house. We break your power in the name of Jesus. We release our faith. We thank you for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, quickening mortal bodies, quickening and bringing a flame of the passions of Jesus Christ back into the heartbeat of this great house in the name of Jesus. Devil, we stand, and you are under our feet, and you are a defeated foe. And we remind you that our King spoiled principalities and powers, that he made a show of them openly, that he triumphed over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you that you have called us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Lord God, that you given us a new and better covenant, that you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So we take our seat, and we see are seated in heavenly places with you, and we thank you that we will experience the heavenly blessings that you have paid the price for us, and we give you praise for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Quickening. Yes, quickening will take place. Impartations will take place as you walk in the new season and the freshness of that season that is already prepared for you. I will open up the gates and you will see the glory, and you will see the manifestations of my glory. It's because as the glory over, understand, as the waters have covered the sea, so the knowledge of my glory will fill the earth. And I have chosen you, I have selected you, I have anointed you, and I have appointed you to take forth my glory and to cover the earth with it. So don't underestimate the abilities that I've given you to accomplish more than you ever have before in the days that lie ahead, saith the Spirit of grace.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we love you. We love you with all of our heart, all our soul, and all our might. We are so thankful, Jesus. We are so thankful, Jesus. You are so good to us. And we bless you. We bless you. Thank you for the love that you've shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you for the ability to share that love with each other. So I just ask you to take a few minutes and just do that with each other. There's people here that need a friendly handshake or maybe a hug if that's allowed. There's people here that need somebody to know that they're loved. Amen. If we can't do it here, we certainly can't do it outside. I'm so grateful to be a part of your lives in this season. I'm so thankful to the Lord for allowing me to be here with you. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Bless you, buddy. Thank you. Katie, I see you're physically present. I was told that maybe you wouldn't be sharing this morning, but would you like to? Okay, so we'll wait maybe next week, huh? Okay. Well, I'm excited to hear. I know when you smell food like you do here, it's very difficult to focus and concentrate on the on the meat of God's word. All right, but I'll ask you to shift your attention just for. I'll try not to be too long because we don't want anything to burn up. Amen. And I've been noted to be long-winded, and I don't plan on doing that today. All right, I don't want the chefs. Take me out back and stone me, all right? Amen. I want to be able to be with you over the next season. Anyhow, I wanted to read a passage of Scripture. We hit it a couple weeks ago before I start. out of the Passion Translation, I'm going to read it, but in the King James, you're probably quite familiar with it. You'll find it in Romans 15:13. I know we prayed this over you here a short while ago, but I just felt like today I was supposed to repeat it over your lives. It says in verse 13, Now the God of hope fill you, Abundant Life Center, with all joy, say all joy, and peace. In other words, that'd be all joy and all peace, all right, in believing. So the key is we've got to believe it, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the Passion Translation, I like this version in this scripture. It says, now may God, the fountain of hope, hallelujah, amen, it's time to drink, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. Glory to God. Amen. We are in a world that needs to experience the joy of the Lord. And if they don't experience it on us, where else are they going to see it? So uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the one who lives in you, continually surround your life with His superabundance until. So let's not wait any longer, okay? We've waited long enough until you radiate with hope. Amen. I see radiators in this house. Amen. The heat and the glory of God is smoking all over you. And it's radiating because I see hope. I see a future. Glory to God. I see good things about to take place in your life. I see doors being opened. I'm telling you what, I believe God is going to supernaturally bring prosperity into your lives in the name of Jesus. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I still stand that there will be debt cancellation over this house, over your lives, that there will be new pathways and new doorways open up to you, that there will be witty ideas that are available to you if you'll put your hands to it and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you. You're going to find out this is going to be one of the greatest seasons you're stepping into. That doesn't mean there isn't giants in the land. That doesn't mean that you don't have to fight the good fight of faith. That doesn't mean that you don't have to resist the devil. But what it does mean, you draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. And you resist the devil, and he's got to flee. He has no choice. Can you shout amen in this house? Amen, amen. Well, radiators, never been called a radiator before, have you, huh? All right. I told you get to experience new things, all right? Last week I wanted to teach on prayer a little bit just to encourage you. And I want to share some things I felt the Lord give me. I thought, Lord, you have a way of giving me these messages, and if people don't know how to catch it, they're probably not going to be able to get it. So I want you to put your catchers on. And what I mean by that is put your spiritual ears on and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you individually and to us corporately, all right? You can go back, you can rehearse the scriptures, you can meditate on them, and you can draw the counsel of God out of them. You can put them into the context in which they're setting, all right? I'm not trying to take things out of context. I just want to plant what I believe is a word that God wants us to understand corporately so that we can be active in operating in the season that lies ahead of us as a church. Go to Matthew chapter 16, if you would, please. Do we really know who we are as a church? Understand me, do we know who we are as a believer? And I believe to some degree we all do, but I don't think we've exhausted that. And I really believe that we've come into a season we need to understand who we are. We need to understand the power that's within us. We need to understand that we are victorious in this whole thing. Amen. Thanks be unto God who doesn't once in a while cause us to triumph. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Where at? In Christ Jesus. The key is, are we remaining in Him, allowing His word to remain in us so that when we ask, we get what we desire, according to John 15:7. Understand, I believe that that's who we are. So in Matthew 16, you're quite familiar with these scriptures, but let me read them to you just to humor me, okay? Will you humor me a little bit? All right, amen. In verse 13, Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." But he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered him, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Understand, that is what we refer to in the church today as revelation knowledge, revealed truth into the heart of a man. In this case, it was Peter. He got a hold of it. "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And then he says, and Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." And so this has been so misinterpreted over the years, but we haven't. Glory to God. We know what it means. "And upon this rock," the rock of revealed knowledge, not on the rock of the man Peter, all right, but on the rock of revealed knowledge, "I will build my church." Who's building the church? Jesus Christ is. Can you say amen? "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We don't take God outside of His Word. He agrees with His Word. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, agrees with the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing that Word, and hearing that Word, and understanding we have faith. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can speak, amen, and things will happen. And we certainly have that, my brother and sister. He says here, he says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever will bind in earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever will loose in earth will be loosed in heaven." And he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Well, thank God those days are over, because we got to tell every man that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he is the one who's going to crack the sky. He's going to appear. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Understand, the King is coming back. I don't know if I'll see it, but I bless God, I believe my grandbabies will see it. So we've got to prepare a generation. There's some fathers and mothers in this house. There's some grandmas and granddads in this house, and we have a great responsibility to raise them up, to train them up, to teach them and minister to them, and then show them the real Jesus Christ, not the imposter, not the religious one, but the one who was and is to come, because he's getting ready. Can you shout amen in this house?